Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, Nicole, I barely had a time to talk to you before show. So you were saying something about instant karma happening to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, you know, obviously with my accident and with me, you know, losing, you know, rather just me closing my companies and everything, you know, I've been on the job hunt, as many of you know, and I had an opportunity to take a job with my stepmom, which wasn't really my ideal job. I really wasn't looking forward to it, but it was a paycheck. And in the meantime, you know, back, you know, to my roots doing, you know, constructive and wire runs and things like that, you know, somebody had given me the opportunity to work at their home, somebody that's related, you know, to me, you know, a family member. Well, I turned down the job of my stepmother, and she hired somebody else. And, you know, all month long, you know, as everything was late and this and that, I was waiting for this job to start, when all of a sudden, you know, the person's related to me is, you know, significant other, turns around and says, I don't want family involved, and we're going to get somebody else to do it at the last minute, leaving me with no income coming in, because that's what I was relying on all month. After I said, I can be at another job, and I can help you on the weekends, or I can be at another job and just you can find somebody else from the get-go, you know. So basically, he didn't really, you know, step up to the plate so much, you know, so well. And, you know, he has since apologized for it, and, you know, it's no hard feelings or anything else. But my feelings were still kind of hurt that he would do that and leave me in that position, you know. So to make a long story short, I found out today that, you know, from my relative, that, you know, she would rather, you know, she would be needing my services, that she was, you know, having a little trouble getting somebody in to do, a, you know, a piece of the job that was not included with, you know, whoever she did have doing. And I sent one of my employees from my new company over there, and he informed me that it was done incorrectly, and that's why her pricing has been so high. So it's kind of like instant karma, like, you know, that like what happened to her and what happened to him is the kind of thing that I was trying to save her from. And you know, and now, unfortunately, you know, it has happened. So, you know, I'm going to do my best to try to help her out as best as I can, you know. But unfortunately, you know, that's, you know.
Okay, but don't play rescuer, because what do we talk about on this show? When you step into rescuer, you can become a victim and persecuted here, so be sure.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do, I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not going to do anything that I shouldn't be doing, you know. So
okay,
I'm just going to go, I'm just going to do what I can, and if I can't do anything, then that's going to have to be good enough.
That's what I'm saying, you know, because it is funny when these things happen. You can see how fast karma can come back. And, you know, it's one of those things in business. Sometimes I understand, sometimes people don't want to get involved with family members. I know sometimes when I've paid my family members to do something, they haven't done the job.
Yep.
And then,
unfortunately is this very, very sad truth. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I'll do what I can.
Oh, good for you. But then, you know, the problem is when you do hire family members, you can't take them to small claims court. You should take them, but we don't.
I know. Well, that's why I think the best thing that I can do is walk away. So it's all good.
But I know that we have several people have been trying to call in for a few weeks. So
yes,
the 303.
There's a 303 number. Okay, the last four digits are going to be 6464. We're going to put them on the air first tonight. But as usual, I don't screen the first call, so let's see who's waiting for us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, this is Cindy, and who are we speaking to?
Hi, Cindy. It's Sheila. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. We're having a little interference. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah, I'm on. Let me actually, you know what, let me just pull over and I'll actually get into a better place. But I'm so happy to speak with you. I've been listening to your show for such a long time.
Well, we're glad to hear that. And it's funny because you were smart and gave me an email to cindybella@verizon.net. And if people do that, we will try to get you through because we do usually have like hundreds of callers. So sometimes we just can't get to everybody.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine.
And could you tell us where you're calling from?
Yeah, I'm actually calling. I'm calling from New York. I live in Queens, New York.
Okay. And your first name is?
Sheila.
Sheila, okay. And yeah. Sheila, if you've been listening to our show, you probably have learned certain things and seen certain patterns in your own behavior, which probably is a little bit shocking to realize that we're all sort of products of the same dysfunction.
Right,
and
right.
For you, do you have a relationship question or something else that you wanted to get guidance on?
It is definitely a relationship question, and maybe just something about my future as well. And that, those are the things that I really wanted to ask you because I've been listening to your show for a long time, and, you know, I'm just amazed by some of the things that you say, and I'm just like, wow, you know, she's so insightful, and it's so very true.
And it's almost frightening. Sometimes when you deliver the messages, it's we all think we're very unique, but the patterns of behavior kind of follow a trend.
Yeah.
And so any people have been telling us if they listen to the show, even without getting through, it's really, really helpful to them. With you, I see you're a little bit of a worrier. Are you a worrier by nature?
I am. Sometimes I can get very anxious about certain things.
Okay, because this kind of worrying is sort of a what-if thing. What if that happens? What if this happens? What if that? You actually have some major changes going to take place this year. And, you know, change is good. Sometimes we like the devil we know, but your whole life is about ready to shake up. It looks like you've been doing a lot of inner searching. Have you been looking inward for answers?
I have, actually. And let me just tell you a little bit about my situation.
Sure.
Because what you said totally, like, surprised me because it's so true. I was actually married about 2 years ago. And my ex-husband and I actually were only married. We knew each other for about a year. But then our marriage fell apart after about, like, 4 months. There was just too much family interference on both sides. And I guess he couldn't take it. I wanted to work things out, and things just ended abruptly, you know?
Wow.
And, yeah, and I guess he's moved on. I mean, he's remarried, and he's moved on with his life. But then it's taking me almost 2 years to kind of, like, come to terms with what's happened. And
well, that's a lot of change. I mean, your whole life did change.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that, you know, your husband replaced you that easily. Did you feel that you and your husband were soulmates? Did you have that connection, or was he a man to fit a plan? Sort of, you know, you're getting older and he, you know, kind of fit the details. Which, you know, the soulmate is that heart, soul, mind, body connection. Did you have that with him?
So here's the thing. Initially, I thought he was just there to fill the plan, to, like, you know, fill the plan, like, oh, yeah, I'm getting older. I need to get married and move on with my life. But then eventually, as our relationship evolved, I honestly did feel a connection. And then when we separated, that connection just became, it just felt more stronger, you know.
Right. Well, there are lessons to learn when love is brought to us, and there's lessons to learn when it's taken away. So the connection feeling stronger is not unusual because you're trying to figure out why didn't it work. And the lessons that God would ask you to learn is that one of them is you can't change people and you can't fix people.
Oh, that's so true.
And that's a big one for us because if we really think that we can do that, we may stay too long with someone who's not right for us. But you were also supposed to learn that only love matters and that the fact that you allowed your family to interfere is something that if you're given another soulmate in the future, and you will be, you're not going to let them interfere because they overstep boundaries. You realize that. And
right, and
you're probably a little angry at yourself for allowing it to happen.
Oh, that's so true. I am.
And you're not even mad at them. Why not rob me, rape me, and interfere in my life if I let you? We get mad at ourselves because we didn't draw lines. And you and your husband both acted like two children who were playing house rather than two grown-up soulmates who had made their decision
mm-hmm.
and should have very much stood with your unit strong and
right.
told both families, I will not be loyal to people who don't deserve my loyalty, nor will I honor you just because you're my mother and father if you are not really seeking my higher good, because they all thought they still owned you instead of allowing the two of you to become a unit.
Right.
And that's some of the issues you may have to deal with. Maybe you're wondering, did he ever love you? Did he ever care about you since
yeah,
he replaced
exactly.
you so quickly?
Exactly.
Now, listening to our show, you understand that soulmates at the top end of the ladder of love, and about 45% of Americans are offered that animal, only 1% maintain it. And although you guys, you know, had that soulmate connection, it didn't stay that way. It started to get toxic because of people's interference. And in the future, you're going to, you know, really work at keeping it soulmate. But he didn't replace it at a higher rung. I mean, if he's listening to the show, he'd just hate me. But, he, you know, it's very easily to replace somebody if it becomes mediocre. If you just start, you know, taking it from soulmate, chiseling it down to like a sitcom marriage where we're taking each other for granted, where we're fighting and we're not healing issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's very easy to replace that. You can go on Match.com. I'll find 20 of that level of love for you if that's what you want.
Right.
And so don't think that he replaced you as something better. As a matter of fact, this is probably fits his family more. It's more like, you know, the arranged marriages. Okay, my parents like her. They won't interfere.
Right.
And
right.
so was she more acceptable to his family, do you know?
I think so. Honestly, like, after we separated, he never spoke again. He never contacted me. It's like he totally shut me out of his life. I actually heard from one of his friends that, oh, yeah, you know, he remarried and he's moved on. So, and that was honestly, like, kind of a shocker for me that, you know, it just kind of shakes you up because there's...
Right, it would. To think that we're that replaceable...
Yeah.
Also, don't mistake jealousy for love. We can feel jealousy, but that doesn't mean you still love him. So don't mistake the two, and
mm-hmm.
that's more of a self-esteem issue. But
yeah.
it would have been a lot of fighting with him. You know, he has a lot of anger issues, whether you know that or not.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. You're actually the first person who's pointed that out. You know.
Right, that he has his anger issues, and toxic love serves a purpose. You know, if we have anger issues from our families and unresolved
mm-hmm.
childhood traumas and work stress, we pick somebody we could rage with behind closed doors and then look normal in the outside world. Look
mm-hmm.
at it this way. He loved you enough to not subject you to that behavior. I mean, he's going to relive his parents' marriage, which he has a grandfather who died who's saying it was a really dysfunctional mess there. So you're
yeah.
lucky that he sort of left, didn't even make it that toxic at the end, just to shut you out, because you would have been, you know, having a really bad marriage, and you're a very loyal person, and you may have stayed too long in that mess.
Yeah.
So, you know, figure out that he didn't replace you with someone better. And what
okay.
you want is a soulmate, and you have the time, and you're standing on your own 2 feet without a man, and you won't make excuses for abuse this time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, realize that only love matters. You will not let your family interfere.
Right.
Try to draw boundaries with them now. Are you doing that now?
Yeah, I'm trying. And I think my parents really do understand those things because, of course, you know, they were devastated as well because they had so many hopes and dreams that fell apart too.
Right,
know?
And that's the whole thing. When you break up a marriage, it's an earthquake. It's
yeah,
breaking
it
up a home. It's breaking up finances. And like you said, the dreams and what could have been. But what I'm going to ask you to do is not rewrite history. Don't make a fairy tale out of it. You know, even
okay.
when people, you know, when we do get divorced and around holiday times, you know, I've been divorced about 8 years now, I'll
yeah.
still feel like, oh, some tinge of regret in my heart because
right.
we miss the illusion of that happy family, but it really wasn't there.
Right.
So try not to rewrite history as if it were better than it were,
mm-hmm.
because that becomes something that makes it harder to heal in the long
okay.
run. How old are you, by the way?
Oh, I'm 27 years old.
Okay, 27 years young. Okay,
yeah.
Your generation are major commitment phobics. They seem to
oh,
get
so
love,
true.
and run from it. It's like so fast. Like, you know, I don't think historically any marriages lasted that short and fell apart. You know, people
so
at least believed a little bit you made your bed, lie in it, even for like, you know, 5 years. This is an absurd amount of time to begin and end a relationship. And so, you know, this time, what he is he's a committed commitment phobic. He married a woman he's not all that committed to, heart, soul, mind, and body. And so don't think he overcame his issues.
Okay.
And
is
that
he
might
happy?
Be,
like, is he happy with
he's happy
right
because
now?
He can be the master over her.
Okay.
And, you know, that's important to him.
Okay.
And he doesn't know how to be an equal. And in, at some level, you would also later on have been mommy to a boy with him. In order to replace his mother or get her out of the way, you would have had to be mommy.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure you wanted to take on that role either.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. And you're right. He did have, like, issues with his mother. He was very attached to his mother, you know.
Right. And, you know, and you would have had to, like, do all the things she did for him. And you know, in the long run, I don't think that's what you wanted. This is a very good relationship coming for you, though, in the future. It's a little bit of standing on your own 2 feet, growing up a little bit.
Okay.
And are you living with your parents now?
No, I actually living separate from my parents. I have my own apartment. I have my own job. And you're right. You know, I'm very independent at this point in my life. And I've had, you know, these 2 years to reflect on things that have happened. And I want to say that I have grown as a person. But there are just days, like you said, you know, around the holidays or something, you just live through those illusions or you live through those good memories. And you're just like, what happens? You know, like, did he really care? And, you know, just those same things that you said before at the beginning.
And that's it. People do run from a higher love all the time. That's why every third love song is about the love that got away. And it's because people can't seem to stay in a higher love because a higher love demands healing 70% of our issues. And maybe that was just too much for you to do at the time. Pray for that soulmate who will be ready and willing and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to pray to be the same. And write down what your ideal soulmate would be like. And, you know, and that some of the traits of your ex-husband that you like should be there. But, of course, the commitment to that love, you know, people just run from a higher love. I mean, I hear it every day in my practice. I'll hear, you know, a woman said, I don't know why I said this and then he's not here. I said, you know, he's playing the game of blemish. He looked for one little thing and now he's running because he wanted to run. You know, toxic love, you throw ass in each other's face and you stay together. I mean, it's crazy. So he ran pretty quickly. His family didn't really particularly like you because you weren't a person that easily to be controlled. And the woman he's with now will sort of like yes them to death and be under their, like, you know, what they want her to do.
Okay.
So, you know, please call in and let us know what happens for you in your near future. But career-wise, it looks good for you, too. I'm not seeing any negatives in your cards right now. I'm just seeing this is the time for you to stop beating yourself over the head. Punishing yourself for things. And, you know, you have a right to be angry at your parents. You know, don't stuff that all down. You know, ultimately we're the ones who allow people to do things. So, you know, we have to take the responsibility for that. But parents interfering is not such a great thing.
Right. And that's very true.
And, you know, you're a nice person, and sometimes we try to, you know, maybe they do it in the name of love or they think they're doing it in the name of love. But once people get married, families have to really back off a bit, you know, and give them a chance to grow. You're going to be a mom in the future. Do you want to be one?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. I would love to, and I'm so glad that you see that in the future, because all of my friends are just having babies right now, and I just feel so, like, closed out of this bubble.
Right, but you don't want, you know, there's a lot of older souls that want to be born now. They don't want to be born into dysfunction, so they really didn't want to take on you and your ex-husband. You know, you want to make sure that you want to have children with a soulmate, because soulmates teach peace, and they teach their children joy and healing and happiness. Toxic love is teaching war, and cold, you know, and just not communicating is teaching cold war. So these are children that are patient, you're young, your eggs aren't drying out, you know, you could conceivably get pregnant for a very long time.
Okay.
So be a little bit patient. Don't look for a man to fit a plan again, just somebody who can, you know, help support you and be the father of your children. You want a soulmate.
Right.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for calling in. We're going to try to take some more callers, and good luck to you.
Okay, thank you. I'll be talking
Thanks
to you soon, me. Okay?
Okay,
thank
sure.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, Nicole, didn't you just like her energy?
Yes, I did. I wish I could have seen more of the call because I was, like, in and out of the chat room, but...
Okay, but, you know, she was very, very interesting, and I'm sure there's a lot of people had have similar things on their plate. Now, you have...
I have queued up a couple of people, and actually we're going to go over to Ohio. We're going to speak to Abby right now, Cindy. This is a very, very sad story, and I'm hoping that you have, you know, some good news for Abby here. Basically, her boyfriend broke up with her last week when she announced that she was pregnant. And he basically insisted that she have an abortion and hasn't talked to her since. And she's, you know, completely distraught over this and heartbroken. And to add insult to injury, you know, she has been going to, you know, the doctors, and apparently there's some complications with the baby. And she doesn't, you know, she doesn't really know what to do at this point. She doesn't even know if she's going to be able to carry full term. And that on top of, you know, her heartbreak because of her boyfriend and the father of this child is really, really taking its toll on Abby. And she can really use some advice here, Sin, and see what's in her cards.
Okay. Hi, Abby. I'm so glad you got through. I know you're dear friends with my... Second cousin Jennifer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
And I'm so glad to talk to you. My prayers have been out to you since you sent me an email, and I'm not surprised that there's some complications because you're carrying an older soul who's a little reluctant to take on some of the dysfunction that's going on.
Right.
And you know, is asking you as a mom, what do you want? I could talk to any soul, living or dead, and your being is like 9,000 years old that you're carrying. But what complications are they saying are there?
I've had two ultrasounds, and they can't find the baby. They're not able to see it yet. And one hand, they say it might be too early, and on the other hand, they said that, you know, baby maybe not developing quick, you know, as it should, and it may not go to term. So I'm so
and again,
stressed
the
out.
Jury's out on that baby because older souls, and if you heard my call, you know, before, or if you've ever heard the show, I'm an older soul that was born into great dysfunction that will never take it on again. You know, that's my deal with God. I did it, been there, done it. You know, I've ended dysfunction. I think I'm an emissary of healing because of what was done and how I've healed, but I don't want it again. And your soul is asking you, Mom, do you want me?
Yes, I do. I most definitely want this baby.
Okay,
I mean, I've
good.
Been heartbroken ever since I found out that, you know, I may not be able to go to term because I have a lot of health issues and, you know, this wasn't planned, so it was a big surprise.
Right.
And,
are you on, from your health issues, I remember you said you had a head injury, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I was in a car accident on Christmas Eve of this past year, and I've been out of on disability for the past 8 weeks from work, and I'm supposed to go back to work next week, and I'm so distraught, I don't even know how I'm going to be able to work, you know,
right,
worrying about the baby and then distraught about over, you know, this breakup. And
he doesn't look like he's going to come back, this guy, I will tell you that much. He's
okay.
a manipulator. He's not the world's nicest guy, by the way. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I mean, we were having a lot of arguments over stupid things that he would just start arguments with me about.
Right, because he's a very angry person. And,
okay.
you know, he's a control freak. You know, he's a person who doesn't want to pay child support. You know, he thinks he told you to get an abortion, and then, and, you know, to him, in the eyes of the law, that means he doesn't have to, you know, pay for this child. You may find you're going to have your hands full with him. And, you know, he's a person who will not play fair with you. And just get some of the blinders off about him because, you know, you're a good person and you tend to see the good in people and want to bring out the good in people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've picked this kind of man before, correct?
Yes.
The kind of man who's sort of the prince that becomes the beast. They tell you what you want to hear, and then suddenly you find out who they are.
Yeah, I just got divorced last year, and that was my husband. My ex-husband was the same way.
Okay.
You know, we were married for a long time. We were married for 14 years, and he turned out to be a nightmare that I can't still get rid of.
Okay, and that's part of it's patterns will keep repeating themselves until we find out why we keep picking the prince that became the beast. For the most part, we always have to relive our parents' marriage. What was your dad like?
He just worked a lot. He worked a lot of hours at work, but he raised me and my brother and sister on his own because my mom left us when I was 12.
Okay. And there's a pretty good reason why you keep picking the princes that become the beast. And you're trying to figure out why perhaps your dad married your mom in the first place. You know, your dad's a nice person, correct?
Yes, he is.
Okay, and he's a lot like you, naive, wanting to see the good in people, thinking he could fix people, making excuses for people's abuse. And, you know, your mom leaving you is pretty traumatic at 12, and you keep picking the kinds of men who are very similar to your mom. You know, Freud got something wrong. Our fathers, most of the time, don't determine the men we pick. It's our mothers. And if our mothers are very narcissistic and manipulative, and if they've abandoned us, we're going to keep picking narcissistic, manipulative, abandoning people. What you didn't learn from your husband, you're learning from this man. Your dad could not fix your mother. Forgive him for not being able to change her, fix her, keep her with you. Understand when your dad worked hard and he was tired and he lost patience, he had a lot on his plate.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes we just judge our parents until we realize, you know, what it's like. What you didn't learn from your husband, you're going to learn from this man. Some people are just not fixable, and they're not nice. There are genuinely people that are not nice.
And I didn't know that at all about him until he, you know, left me. I guess, you know, he told me how much he loved me, he wanted a future with me. I never thought he would do this to me. I never thought he would just leave me. I mean, is that the only reason why he left, was because of the baby, or is there another reason?
No, because he's the kind of person, first of all, he's a narcissist. Narcissists are brilliant. They're geniuses. And fortunately, most people are not smart enough to be a Hitler. But narcissists listen to what we say. The first month, they would hear us say, oh, you know, my husband abandoned me, my mom did this, I never want somebody to abandon me, I want somebody to stay with me. And they hear what we're saying, and they throw it back like a tape recorder. So we're thinking, oh, my God, God brought me this perfect man for me. Meanwhile, he's just throwing back what you want to hear. Now he's showing you his true colors.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a person who doesn't want commitment, doesn't want, you know, to have the responsibility of raising a child. And maybe, you know, at this point, not everybody's cut out to be parents. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't force this man to want to be a father any more than you could force your mother to want to be a mother. And, you know, Jesus' mission was pretty much to teach that we were brainwashed to honor our parents, our mothers and fathers, no matter what. That is not what God truly taught. And in trying to keep, you know, trying to think that everybody's meant to be a good mother or father is a mistake. And, you know, you might have to commit to raising this child without this man.
Well,
and even if you were to have an abortion, doesn't mean he's coming back.
Right, and I would never do that anyways. But, you know, I want to have this baby, but I didn't know if he was ever going to come back in the picture or if he's gone for good. And, you know, I just don't understand.
Bringing up some of your primal trauma as a child. When your
right.
husband left you, it brought up what it felt like when your mom left and all the chaos it brings into life. Because you didn't really fully stand on your own two feet without a man, you got involved with the same kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And very narcissistic, very manipulative. In the future, there's a nice soulmate for you, but the prince comes and we can stand on our own two feet without a man. You need to stand on your own two feet without a man. I mean, not saying that you know, you're going to have to take him to court. You're going to have to get child support.
So does that mean you can see the baby with me, but you think the baby's going to be okay?
At this point, I can't honestly say that I see that because, again, the jury is out. If you're not going to be strong enough to take this man to court to get support, this being does not want to put you in financial ruin nor jeopardize what your other children need.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And, you know, if you make your mind that you want this, but you also have to make a deal with God, you're willing to go after the father to support this baby. It's not okay for people to father children and not want to support them. And if the men listening are probably hating me out there, well, then use condoms and make sure she doesn't get pregnant. Don't trust that she's on the pill. Don't trust she's telling you she can't have a baby. You know, men have to protect themselves as well.
Right.
Would you have the strength to do that, to take him to court?
Oh, most definitely, most definitely.
Good, because, you know, he doesn't think you'll do it. Right now he's not talking to you because he figures your fear of abandonment, of him leaving you, is so great that you'll have the abortion, you'll do what he wants.
No, I won't.
Right, because, you know, if anyone who's read my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, we can't compromise. Love is not a compromise. We can't compromise our values for someone else. If you don't believe in abortion, you can't do something you don't believe in because you don't want to lose him. Because ultimately you will come to hate him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you have to concentrate on getting your own health stronger here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing for yourself?
Yes, I have been.
Good. And, you know, as far as the baby goes, can you call in a few weeks and let us know what happens?
I will.
If you lose this baby, you have to trust in the fact that it's a 9,000-year-old being that knows what's best.
Okay, I just know I'm going to be traumatized if it does happen because I do want this baby desperately. I know.
Of course you do, because you're a very good mom to your other children. But again, you may be putting yourself in a position to become your mom because, you know, if you put yourself, you have a head trauma, you have other kids, you're still traumatized by your divorce. You don't want to be the kind of person who eventually becomes your mom and abandons your kids. Not that you'd ever walk out on them, but you could become so psychologically strained and so having to do nothing but work that you won't be there for them.
Right.
So
no,
be careful.
I understand
that you're putting yourself in a position that, you know, how much can one person do by themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Is your dad there to help you?
No, unfortunately, I don't have any family that lives in town, and I don't have any really close friends that I can rely on too much.
Right. I mean, so you can understand how this is a lot on your plate.
Right.
But, you know, things look like ultimately you will turn out okay. This man is going to really show some ugly colors, though.
You think so?
He's not a nice person. Right now he thinks you're going to have an abortion. He really believes you're going to do that.
No,
so,
I would never do that.
So just know that he's a person who's going to give you a run for your money. So, but you're better off to know now. You were married how many years, you said?
14.
Okay, isn't it better to know, and how long did you know this other man?
Not very long.
Okay,
together a couple months.
Okay, isn't it better to learn in a couple of months than 14 years who you're dealing with?
Most definitely. I mean, you don't think he would hurt me, do you?
No, I don't think he would hurt you. I just think he's going to try to say it's not his baby or whatever. And, you know, of course, in this day of paternity test, you know, keep saying whatever you want.
Right.
But, you know,
did he tell his family about the baby? Is that why, you know, like, was there someone else behind convincing him to break up with me, or was it just him by himself?
This is just him. He hasn't told anybody.
Oh, he hasn't? Okay.
No. He hasn't told anybody. Well, call in and let us know about your health and the baby. We'll pray for
you.
And remember, your baby loves you and will do what you this being believes is best for you and for it as well. And we'll keep praying. And I know Nicole will pray for you. And I'm so glad you got through, Abby. I'm so glad to be able to talk to you. Good luck to
you.
Lots of love going your way. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Sin.
That's a hard call, right? She's such a nice girl, too. She's such a sweetheart.
Oh, my God. So bad for her.
I know, and it's one of the things of the world. There's always so many hard decisions to make, and you know, she's really got her plate full. So all of our listeners, please pray for Abby.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I see you've been screening all along here. We've got a lot of callers.
Yes, we do. We've got so many callers tonight. I'm trying to do my best as far as, you know, picking you guys up. All right. But right now we are actually going to go over to Camille.
Okay.
And Camille is in California.
Great.
And basically she wants to know what you see as far as being an a work-from-home mom. All right. So she's got a new endeavor on the horizon. She wants to know if it's the right one. So let's see what she has to say.
Love that.
Hello, Camille. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi,
thank
Camille.
You.
Camille. What a great thing. So is this your new baby?
Yes, and she is just going to be 4 months exactly on the 7th.
Wow, and I could tell you the first card I got was a new baby, and she's going to make very good money in her life. She's very smart. So, you know, little comfort for you there. She'll know how to support herself. And
good.
For you, I know you're worrying about leaving her, and to be a stay-at-home mom is really good and make money at home, and the endeavor looks very, very promising. What kind of plan do you have, or what is this? Is something you could share with us?
Yes, I can. It's working from home, doing public relations, and now that I have this baby, I am more interested and invested in any and all things pertaining to mothers and babies. So like,
wonderful. And, you know, it's so funny. When everybody can't figure out what they want to do for career, what they're going to do later on, I said, most of us are going to have 2 to 5 distinct careers in our lifetime. And we will stumble upon them at the right moment. You know, I used to be a professional belly dancer and for years and years, and then my daughter was 3, and I saw a very bad clown, and I had been a theater major in college, and I said, oh, I can create better children's entertainment than that, and I started a children's entertainment company. Now, I wouldn't have known about that till I had my daughter. So
exactly.
It's kind of definitely doing things for moms would be important, and the money looks very good. You have a very good 5-year period opening up here. Pretty much anything you want is yours.
Good.
Even
yes.
A nice man. You don't have a husband right now, do you?
Oh, no. Her father, I'm sorry to say, but her father was a piece of trash. And
had a few phone calls like that today.
You know, I know. I was listening to the other one. But, like, I kind of, the best part of our short romantic relationship is this baby. So,
and
yeah,
if Abby's still listening, then maybe she needed to hear that, too. It seems a little funny that we've got the same calls kind of in a row here.
I got the best part of the relationship, and I deliberately created her because I knew I needed a change in my life, and I put the energy out there, and very quickly the universe delivered and gave me this beautiful baby. And in the process, I've been getting, women, infant, children with her. So because of her, I've got, like, food supplementation and other blessings coming in. Like, I haven't had to buy a single diaper or anything like that.
Wow. So, you see, the world is embracing her, and you as a single mom could do well to help other women find out the resources and give other women the courage to do what you're doing right now. It looks really, really good. There is a nice man in the future, though.
Oh, good.
And
it's
probably linked to your job, to you going about what you're doing. Try not to beat yourself over the head with worry because the money looks like it will come in. And right now you could see things are being provided. You seem to practice the laws of attraction. You manifested your daughter. You manifest what you need. and, you know, very, very, very good things here. And nothing bad in your cards whatsoever.
And, oh, good. Okay.
Just, you know, relax about the business. Try to do it from the home. You know, it's always good. You know, women have to work. That's the way it is nowadays, and that's what God wants, because we never want to go back to where men supported us and we had to stay with the men that you said, like, trash, whether we wanted to or not, because we couldn't support ourselves. So your working is important, and, you know, helping other mothers is really important, too. So very, very good things here. A good love coming for you. That's important, though. Because for your daughter's sake, you don't... God's getting a little concerned. We're giving birth to generations of people that may never go in the room with another human being. They're going to have, you know, their little iPods, computers, and everything to keep them busy, and they won't need human love. So we want to make sure your daughter sees a soulmate love, and that's why, you know, she seems to have agreed to come onto this planet knowing who her real father was going to be, and that's the soulmate you're going to meet.
Okay, I can feel.
You could sense that. I mean, she's smart. She wants a good man, a good role model, and there are so many good men out there. I know tonight we're talking about some fathers who are not very good, and, you know, and believe me, there are lots of good men out there, and one who will love your daughter and embrace, you know, the whole experience of being a family with you.
And that's what I want. And before I get to that point, the money aspect, Does anything in the cards show up about my home?
Okay. Are you afraid you're going to lose it at this point?
Well,
because it doesn't look that way.
Yes.
It looks like you should be able to keep this house going. So, you know, there's a lot, you know, we've got to sometimes be a little resourceful with things. But, no, that looks good, too. So, you know.
Okay.
You know, there's also perhaps another child in the future. The man may have one of his own, so, you know, or you may still have another one. But
I have another one.
You have another one?
I'm going to.
Good.
Kissed that, yeah.
Good, because that's what I see, another child in the future, too. So, you know, good things for you. And you got to call in and let us know when your love comes, because this is a really good guy. He's smart. Makes very good money. He's very loyal, trustworthy, very kind of old-fashioned and family-oriented. So those are traits, I think, and he's definitely sober. He's a very sober man.
Good.
I think that's on the top of your list. Make sure there's a man who's strong and sober.
Oh, it is, because I met her father at a pub. Which is okay, because it was a neighborhood pub. Everybody goes. Everybody knows everybody. We had a lot of fun. The problem is, I know when to stop, and he does not know when to stop.
Okay, so that's definitely something that, you know, he's strong, he's sober. And that's what I was wondering, why the sober card came up. I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
Good. Okay.
So
please call
in and let us know, and thank you for sharing your story with us and your baby, too. Good
thank
luck with
you.
with your daughter.
Thanks. Okay.
Bye. Boy, it's the mommy's day today, huh?
It really is.
It was a little coincidence, two calls in a row, so I hope Abby got some message from
Abby
there.
Abby is actually still on the line, and I really hope that she gets it. And actually, I'm telling you, today is all about Abby. So, Abby, don't go anywhere. I see that you're still out there. All right. We've got about 15 minutes left, Cindy. All right. And
good,
now
mine says 31 minutes. You know, I never have the right time on my blog talk.
Just so you know, we've got about 16 minutes left. We're on the 16-minute mark right now. All right. And we're going to go to Christy in Florida right now, who has had a little bit of a dry spell relationship-wise.
Okay.
She wants to know what you see, Cindy, because basically she is a single mom. And she
Another single mom, and
she wants to find somebody that she wants the happy ending, Cindy. She wants to find somebody who's going to love and accept her, love and accept her son, and, you know, she wants the happily ever after, and she wants to know if you see that coming for her, because it is very important to her that when she does find that person that's just right, that he's right for her son as well.
Wow.
So we're
going
to go to Christy in Florida. Hello, Christy.
Hi, hello.
Are you on there?
Hi, Christy. Now, you have to understand the show must be divinely guided to have three moms in a row looking for a good man.
I've been listening, and I'm in shock because it's like a lot of the same things. I mean, it's like the last caller, she said, you know, one of her top things was about, you know, finding a guy that was sober. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's me too.
Right, and that's why I said it's funny because the universe kind of brings me people in sort of groups, even when I'm doing tarot card readings for a day. Everybody's got the same issue in the day. I mean, it's kind of odd to me. I mean, I feel like I'm reading the same person eight different times in a day. And for you, there's definitely, again, it's funny because I shuffled these cards really, really, really well. And I got the same couple of cards that I got for Camille, our last listener, about a man being very strong, loyal, trustworthy, smart, family-oriented, will love your son. Your son is very, very bright. How old is your son?
He's 8 years old.
Okay, because he's a smart boy. You know, must know that by now.
Oh, yeah.
And he says a prayer for a good dad almost every night. Do you know that? He wants a father figure, a good father figure. And, you know, his prayers are going to be answered as much as yours. Now, you're praying for a good man. So the universe isn't just bringing you any man. I mean, it's easy to bring you any man. That's why there's a dry spell. You know, you're praying for a loyal man, a good man. Does your son have a grandfather who passed away?
Yes, my stepdad actually. And he was, like, the biggest part of my son's life. He passed away recently, a couple years ago.
Okay, because that's the man that's saying, I hear your son's prayer every night for a good dad. And he does miss his step-grandfather, his grandfather, he called him. He misses him very much. And so this man is the one who's going to gift you with this wonderful soulmate. And he knows the kind of man your son would need. He's a lot like your stepfather, and that's important because this is where the love is going to come from, and your son is a person who needs a good role model, a good male role model. Does he see his dad at all?
Not at all.
Which is probably better. Which is probably better. And because, you know, it's one thing to have abandonment issues because your father abandoned you and neglected you, which are much easier to get over. And if you could tell your son, because he's old enough, he wonders, what's wrong with me that my dad didn't stay? Because children tend to think it's their fault. Tell him that his father loved him enough to leave him alone, that he was a man who had some unhealed issues and he wasn't going to be a good father. And he loved this boy enough to leave him.
Because
he needs to hear that. And the man who's coming may have a child or two of his own. He's similar to you. I mean, you fell for the prince that became the beast. He fell for the princess that became the beast. He had no idea what he signed on for when he married her. So God is bringing the good people together now. And he's a very, very good man. Are you doing anything to find someone?
Well, right now, you know, I'm really focusing on my schooling and trying to find a job and just getting myself together. But, I mean, physically, I've been working on myself because for a long time, because of my past relationship, I just let myself really go. And now, I mean, for the past 6 months, I finally, you know, I was like, okay, I'm done with this. I want to start worrying about me. I deserve to be beautiful. I deserve to, you know, just really loving myself more and, you know, making myself attractive because I really was trying to hide in the hole because I didn't, you know, I like you said, I don't want just any man. And, you know, I was really scared for a while, so, you know, of men because of my previous relationship. So I kind of hid myself and, you know, I've finally come out of that. And now it's like, okay, so it's been a while and, you know, I really want to find somebody good, but I don't know, you know, I've never been the type. I mean, when I was younger, I would pursue a guy, but I would always pursue the wrong person. I learned from that. not to pursue a man. And so now I'm really old-fashioned in the fact that I'm even shy almost that I won't pursue a man. I want them to pursue me. And I don't know if I give off the wrong, you know.
Well, you're giving off some vibrations that you're taken or that you're snobby maybe. So
that's what people have said.
So you want to understand, you know, it's not about who's chasing who. It's about, because sometimes good men can be shy, so they're not going to pursue you. The players pursue us because that's they're good at that. So, you know, your attitude may draw players to you eventually, but not necessarily a good man who might be a little shy. So, you know, the greatest invitation to love is to be loving first. So you might want to just be a little more open, you know, at school and wherever you go, and not, you know, give off the vibrations that now, you know, you want someone necessarily to pursue you. Because, again, the players are pretty good at pursuing.
Yeah.
They're the used car salesmen. They could sell us anything. That's what they sound like when they're near us. So this man is, you know, a man that you will probably just come across in your life, you know, at school, maybe with the new job you're getting. And, again, you know, loving yourself. I liked what you said. And those listeners out there, listen carefully. She's first coming to love herself the way she loves her own son. She's, you know, your son brought you to a place of self-love because he loves you so much. And now you want to make sure that, you know, when we're in a place of self-love, we don't let people abuse us. You know, you wouldn't let anybody be mean to your son. So why is it okay if people are mean to you? So you're really learning that. You're learning to love yourself like you love your son. So that place of self-love is what's going to bring, you know, this man to you. But again, we can't, like, build, like, walls around us that somebody else has to come and, you know, run after us. Because, you know, that's not even fair. Because, you know, again, there's a lot of shy people that are such good people, but they never make the first approach. Because they have their own self-esteem issues. And now that, you know, you're looking beautiful, you look great, maybe the shy guy will think you're out of his league. So try to think about that, too.
Okay, is there anything I should look for when this man comes across or anything?
He's got some of the traits you liked in your stepfather. Do you know what those traits your stepfather's talking about are?
Well, I mean, my stepdad, he was very stern. He was but he was a very loving man to my mother. I mean, he treated my mom like an absolute queen.
And that's what you want. And that's what he says. This man will treat you. That's what you're wanting more than him chasing after you or pursuing you. You want him to treat you with like a queen and like that you're special, and you're going to treat him the same way. And that's the important thing. He said he loved your mom. And that's how you treat someone you love. And that's what he wanted you to know that. And we always have to relive our parents' marriage when we saw growing up. Your parents were divorced the first time around. Your mom's divorced.
Yes.
Because the men you pick, you keep picking, you know, the princes that become the beast. Because, you know, when we're children, we judge. We look at our mom and we say, where the hell did she marry him in the first place? And we're thinking, oh, I could have fixed daddy. I could have done that. Did you learn that your mother couldn't fix your biological father?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Did you learn why she picked the prince that became the beast? Because you did the same thing. And that now is when you're going to have, you pick that really good man the way your mom knew to do later on. So that's the difference. First, you had to get that reliving your parents' nonsense out of your system. And now, you know, that good man will come around and be here. But, you know, we always relive our childhood, whether we know it or not. If you spend some time examining how the man you picked was a lot like your father and how things turned out very similarly, whether you wanted it or not, it's important because we don't realize that we have a child in us that's judging our mother and judging our father. And, you know, you have an opportunity now to sort of heal those issues, come to that place of self-love. And, you know, you're a very good mother, by the way.
Thank you. I'm just hoping that, like, I'm sorry, you have me in tears over here because you're, like, hitting home.
I know, and I'm not judging at all, but one good tarot card reading is worth 20 years of therapy. You know, talk therapy, just talking about what mommy and daddy did doesn't help. When I show the pattern and the judgment that the three-year-old observes and sees and why you've duplicated that pattern, I've broken the pattern and you'll never do it again. You will never fall for the prince who becomes the beast again. And that's the pattern that you need to end. And the fact that it's touching you and it's resonating deep inside, you know, you're dooming your son at some level to pick the princess that becomes the beast, but maybe he'll do it when he's young, and you'll look at him and say, okay, you think you're going to be able to fix your daddy? Okay, good luck. You bring the pattern forth, and you break it. And the fact that your mom showed you that a good man exists makes you hopeful that there is such an animal as soulmate. And, you know, so have a lot of respect for your mom, you know, and realize that, you know, we are a little harsh on our parents. And until we have another mouth to feed other than our own, I'm always telling people, don't judge your parents. So you have to, you know, till that moment.
That's my main concern, is just making sure that my son is brought up properly, that he has a good role model, and that he grows up to be something wonderful, you know. And he's going to.
He's a very smart boy. He's a very old soul. He could be raised by wolves and turn out okay. So just to make you feel better, you know. He came knowing right from wrong. He also came with the knowledge that God never said honor your father no matter what. And this boy did not want to be raised by his biological father. You know, again, the little boy in him doesn't understand now, but the old soul in him well understands that he's much better off to not be raised by that father.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you, and enjoy your holidays. And, Nicole, I want to wish you a happy Easter, and I know we're running out of time, so I want to make sure
we end
the show before. Good luck to you, and let us know when love comes your way. Well, Nicole, I think God really brought us a theme for tonight.
Yeah, I think so, you know, and it's funny because amidst our theme, my mom kept calling in while I'm on the radio show, so.
Telling, don't judge your mother until you have another mouth to feed. Whatever you do, stop judging me, Nicole. Stop judging me, Nicole. Well, good luck to you this week.
Cindy, as always, you did a great night, and happy Easter to all of those who celebrate. Happy Passover to those who do not. And that's it, Cindy. You had a great
And don't forget, Nicole, that on the 19th and the 26th, we have no show because I'm getting married on April 22nd.
Who are you now?
Yeah,
I know.
I'm going
to be there.
I know. So, and then I'll be on a little honeymoon. So, So, again, we'll speak to you all next week, and thanks for calling in. Bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.